Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back to the show that is Reclaiming the Republic. This is Reclaiming the Republic. We are hoping, as I've kind of exposed to you, we want to really create a network. We want to have our own radio station that is the, not just a radio station, we want to be a media platform in Reclaiming the Republic. We want to get rid of the communists and the communist revolution. You know, I may be critical of Trump, but I actually, you know, because I still have this huge reservation regarding this man. He doesn't understand the Constitution. You know, when I sit down and I call lawyers, when I talk to constitutionalists, and I start going into the Constitution, I love it when I'm dealing with somebody that teaches the Constitution as it's written, and they don't really understand the context of the Constitution to the level that they really should be, that they claim to be. And I tell people, This always goes down to this, I'll say, this position of scriptures and the commandments, the law. If the commandments are the law, that's how we're supposed to live. How is it that you're to understand how to live that law if you don't read the scriptures? How is it that you are to understand what the Constitution means and how it's supposed to happen, how it's supposed to work, if you don't read the ratification base? Well, the Federalist Papers, only gloss over stuff. They don't go into the details. They do not go into the details because they didn't have to. There were points in time where they actually responded to the Anti-Federalists, but did you know the Anti-Federalists were being suppressed by the press? Most people don't know that. Most people don't know. They think that the press was this really objective, these objective platforms back then that actually let both sides air out their differences. No, they suppressed the Anti-Federalists because they looked at the Anti-Federalists as, you know, this problem. They many of the press really saw liberty as, because it used to be a bastion of liberty. But here's the thing. How liberal were these people when they wouldn't even allow both sides to air their differences? Kind of makes you think. Yeah, they may have been supporters of liberty, but they may not have been as strong of a supporter as most people would give them credit for back in those days. Because that's censorship, right? And the last thing we want, I mean, I don't know. And I think that only the good Lord knows what type of knowledge and information is so evil that it should never be, you know, exposed to man. Maybe there is stuff like that. But I truly believe that evil and that type of knowledge that is evil can't be seen as good. It just cannot be seen as good. So if you are, and I know we're all corruptible. I know we all have our failings and can easily be persuaded. I mean, Lucifer's that silver-tongued devil, right? He's the persuader. I am here to tell you that if we stand with Christ, we stand on that side, and we're supporting Christ and those principles, then I have a hard time understanding how any type of evil knowledge, if it's exposed, is bad. It actually, when you really sit down and you look at it, you know, most people that say we got to suppress information because they don't trust the ability of other people to choose for themselves. And that's an indictment. And we shouldn't be making decisions for other people in any way. I mean, again, this goes back to why we started this whole curriculum on March 29th talking about the scale of liberty. That if you're on that side of liberty, you can't imagine compelling or not giving people the information they need to make the best decision for themselves. You know, I do believe that God created all of us. I believe He is the Creator. That's why we call Him the Creator, which means He created all of us. And I truly believe that, you know, as a parent, as somebody that created life or children, I cannot imagine what it would be like to watch my own children self-destruct and destroy themselves by doing things that were evil, that were absolutely and an abject contradiction to what they needed to do so that they could live forever, so they could live on this life or live at this point in time, that they would choose to do something and engage themselves in something addictive that is destructive. We see this all the time. I can understand why it's hard, but we can't be forced. It is antithetical to this concept of, you know, this whole point of salvation, that we have to willingly go down this path. We have to choose it for ourselves. Anyway, let me break away from, you know, the heavy religious ideology, doctrinal kind of slant here. And let me go down this path of, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. You were listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence, and that's what we want to get right back into, is the process of Republic Review. And so we're going to give you the academic-based evidence solutions, which is Republic Review. We've already given you the academic argument with the ratification debates, as well as the Whiskey Rebellion, as well as the Assumption Act, as well as now the resolutions, which is what we just went through before we get into Republic Review. And now we're exposing you to what this process really is. So we'll be moving forward with that. But before we do, Timber Nation, don't forget, if you're looking, and I'm telling you, they are not paying me a penny. I don't think they have the money to do that, but here is a good company. It's a patriotic company. These guys are not liking, and they're not happy with the burdens of taxes and the level of government that is growing and growing out of control. If you want to support businesses, make these guys successful so that we can turn to them and say, you know, please support these candidates. Please support the politics necessary in saving our businesses and our livelihood and our liberty and our Constitution. We need these businesses to actually start piping in. This goes down to an argument, or not an argument, a paradigm that I'm challenging, again, the Constitution Party on our affiliation and our you know, the role businesses have in politics. I believe politics is in everything. Aristotle points out, I mean, he says, politics is in everything, even marriage. You can't get rid of politics. And so businesses have to be engaged in politics. Husbands and wives have to be engaged in politics. We all have to be engaged in politics at all levels. Any position that calls itself nonpartisan is basically trying to suppress one side over the other. And 9 times out of 10, if it's called nonpartisan, that's because the progressives want to call it that, because they want to have the liberty and the freedom to not be held accountable to the Constitution and the standards of our law and our political system. Anyway, Red Pill Expo, it's coming up. Louisiana, are you going to be there? I will be there. Right now, I am planning on taking my air concentrator, air hose, if I don't get this, it looks like I'm not going to. It looks like I'm heading down that path, but keep me in your prayers. And so we need to, and I'm just helping you understand, I can't do this and I won't be on this earth forever. You all need to start stepping up. What is it going to take? Really, what is it going to take to get you to actually stand up and say, I can do this? This is not rocket science. I know that as I go through this process of Republic Review, it may not be written so it's easily understood, and I'm trying to help. If you have ideas, if you want to help edit these documents, by all means, you know, send me what you would say, hey, why don't you put it this way? And then if it doesn't change the context and change the meaning and the intent behind Republic Review and what we have to do, I'm all for it. I appreciate all the help, any help. Anybody that wants to help, you're more than welcome. Maybe I'd have put that on the Reclaiming the Republic page. You know, we welcome anybody that wants to help edit our documents and so forth. And you'll be paid a handsome reward just like we are. It's not like I'm making anything. The handsome reward we receive are the blessings from heaven. And I can't say that I have want. I mean, I would like to have this disease, but, you know, God's will is God's will. Our Creator is the ultimate sovereign of all things, the ultimate sovereigns over our lives. Anyway, Harry, I hope you're listening. And my final comment is we have a comment line. So you can sound off, 425-270-5416. Oh, by the way, I need to start injecting this, and I'm going to do this now because that's how forgetful I am. We are going to be available, and our content is going to be available on Rumble. And we're affiliating with, we've been asked to provide, you know, the content and, you know, help people understand on Rumble on the platform. I believe it is freedom.tyranny. And so we're hitting Rumble, and I appreciate the gentlemen that are, you know, reached out to me and said, hey, would you mind coming on board? And would you mind coming on to freedom.liberty and going through the Constitution and helping everybody that is a part of this, you know, get this message, because they're emphatic in understanding how, one, it's important it is, and they've, you know, not, anyway, forget it. I'll just leave it at that. We are helping get this out onto Rumble. We want to be on every platform, and we want to be creating a Reclaiming the Republic platform and a presence on all these other platforms. So anyway, we got these two promos. As you know the routine here. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's just dive into where we left off. So we're in paragraph 4, and we used to be 3, but now it's 4, because I've injected the very first, I made a change. And again, the whole point in going through this is to, like I said, it's all about trying to improve how I'm communicating this process and laying it out. It's not really changing the essence, the intent, and the, you know, the process itself. It's just providing more clarity. So One of the things I mentioned at the very, very beginning was that we actually have to call it definitize or canonize. Well, however you want to call it. The states have to declare precisely what is the Constitution that they recognize, because what the federal government is offering as a Constitution is unconstitutional. They're using an annotated Constitution. I'm not making this up. As you start discovering all the little things that they're doing that you didn't even know, you're going to be more and more, you know, upset. You're going to be, you know, what do you want to call it? It's repugnant, but I think you'll find it repulsive. There you go. It'll be repulsive to, I think, most of these people that start understanding what they're doing. Are you kidding me? How did this get so far out of hand? How did they do this? So anyway, the first paragraph is our initial goal is getting the states to actually canonize and declare the Constitution. They can do this before they even initiate republic review. But I will tell you, once they do this, they are on the path of republic review. Why? Because all of a sudden, when they declare that the organic constitution and that the ratification debates are legal, the terms and definitions provided by the Federalist in proposing the ratification of the Constitution, all of those things are legally binding terms and definitions. And in so doing, what they have done is they have provided the clarity that the courts or the judges no longer have access to interpret. It takes it away. So when the states actually definitize what the Constitution is that they recognize, then as we start moving forward, they're already, it drives them down this path of, okay, so we recognize only this is the Constitution. Now we have to start looking at what the federal government is using and going, how far out of whack is that? Just so you understand, I think the Constitution is about 4 pages in a Word document in normal font. The annotated Constitution is over 3,000 pages. So if you understand percentages-wise, you know, that's 99% government, more government than it should exist. Do you get my grift? Do you understand why it's important to have the states definitize and force the federal government back into the actual Constitution instead of allowing them to continue using and making it up as they go along? I mean, what kid, when they start playing a game, doesn't want to make it up as they go along? You know, it gives them the full control. And you know, anyway, it makes it easier for them to win. So as we went through, and we went through paragraphs one, so now it's 1, 2, 3, and we're actually in 4, where they talk about rescinding the petitions and all of that. So the numbers have changed, forgive me, but this is all about trying to help make things clearer and fine-tuning things. That's what it's a definitive process, or I should say it's not a definitive process, it's a distilling process to help people get to the essence of what has to be done. Anyway, so once states, in other words, now that we have one state and they've initiated this, these committees, and we finally got a committee, that committee has finally got a state to get across that threshold of joining. So, and in addition to the joining, they've rescinded their constitutional or their petition for a constitutional convention or an Article 5 convention. And so now we have 2 states working. So once states, the second state or more states start coming in, they need and committing to the Constitution and committing to enforcing the Constitution and joining into the republic review process. The states then need, or these states that are in and active in the process, then need to begin establishing a research committee amongst them. Okay, so hold on. What is this research committee? Actually, this research committee is a part of the republic review process. And if you look at the flow chart, which is up there on the Constitutional Articles page of ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, it's the third document out. It's an image. And it's a flowchart, and you can actually see that there's these different committees. This research committee is going to go down and verify every role, responsibility, and power is in compliance with the Constitution or a violation. So it's kind of like doing the audit, excuse me, it's the audit being done collectively now. So the states are doing it themselves, and then they start working together in doing this. And basically, it's really rubber stamping the findings of the states themselves. The issue is that the first state usually has, like I said, they put the rocks there. They're going to have most all of the work done. And so they can hand over this stuff to these new states as they come into the committee. Then they go back to their state legislatures as they form their committee. They double check everything and they verify and validate the work. This is where we start. And I'm going to tell you, politicians are going to get wise to this and they're not going to say anything because they can't say anything. If they start standing up and start saying, hey, this is legitimate. This Environmental Protection Agency, that's a legitimate power. They go down that path because you can't get there from here. There is nothing in that Constitution that's granted and delegated that power. So obviously, it's gone. It is unconstitutional. So those people that say, oh, we got to have this green, you know, agenda, and that's got to be there, and they're not saying, well, it's got to go until we amend the Constitution. That's the only constitutional stance they can take. Well, we believe we need to have that, and we want a constitutional amendment. Well, why? Why can't the states do that? Why can't the states regulate? Now, we do know the states are going to be bad players, but do the states really want to give that power to this general government? No, we don't. And down the road, as we start working together, we'll be able to work out the kinks and bugs in getting, I believe, the necessary cooperation and or the necessary guards in check. Because as the states start working together, this is going to go beyond even myself, because I'm not the king. These state legislatures will be able to make the decision for themselves and what's best for the republic. And as they put these things on the table, smart people are going to come in and say, well, you ought to do it this way. And there you go. I'm not worried. The last thing we need to do is just grant more power to the federal government. They've already proven how they're going to aggrandize power and so forth. So trying to figure out how to constrain that body of government, the general government, from having more power is critical. That's why down the road here, we're going to have another red text moment where, you know, we're going to basically say we don't want them to have that power. But anyway, this whole research committee also does this. They verify whether these powers exist and whether they need to be basically dissolved or dismantled, decommissioned, what have you. But they also need to identify the value of materials, information, and holdings that are held by each of these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and parties, and determine their disposition. In other words, I use this all the time as an example, the Department of Energy has a lot of data and information regarding energy deposits and so forth. And that information needs to go to the states. We don't want to just destroy it by dismantling the Department of Energy. That money that went into creating the research and everything else should be captured and brought to the states, so each state has their own repository, as well as whatever repositories that the nation has picked up, as well as what the government has picked up of the world, and that all should be shared so that the states understand where we are. Because one of the things, this is why I say we're living in the dark ages, one of the things you're going to discover is that we've been lied to regarding how much energy reserves are there. And it's all about control. The reason they want to get us off of oil, they don't want to improve our life. They don't want to really improve the climate or anything else. What they want to do is they want to be able to control your ability to make commerce and consume commerce. It's about production and consumption. And they want to control every facet of your life. Communism, fundamental communism, is just controlling the production. Fundamental communism. Marx and Engels never included the controlling of consumption. That just became a byproduct. But now we have a government that actually does have the ability, and they do want to control your consumption. Okay, you're not allowed to consume this over here. You can't have that anymore. because we don't want you to have that. We want you to not have that so that you become sick, or because, you know, like vitamins or fruits and vegetables and eating or what have you. We don't care about you. And by making these types of policies, we're basically putting a death warrant on you, if you understand. So the next sub-bullet is confirmed that only authorized, the only authorized process within the Constitution for the general government to assume any new role, responsibility, and power is through the Article 5 constitutional amendment process. Ensuring that the states did not ratify a constitutional amendment authorizing an alternate process allowing for the Supreme Court, the President, or Congress to amend the Constitution exclusively, or did the states amend the Constitution to allow the general government or any or all branches thereof to bypass the Article 5 process without the state's authority? In other words, you know, they've been making it up as they go along. Is there any evidence that they can do this? We want to make sure that we let the world know that they can't. And as we do that, it's all about taking the clothes off of this tyrant, stripping him down, and forcing him into compliance. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's say the answer, the outcome, and by the way, on Red Pill Expo now, it is identifying Lafayette, Louisiana. So if you go to redpillexpo.org, you will actually see, there you go, and here's the register to attend or live stream and so forth. So here you go. Get it out there. Start sending that link. And what we need to do is we need to put up on here, I'm going to talk to Dan, excuse me. I'll talk to Dan about getting some of that content and information out there so people can start, you know, seeing, you know, hey, wow, legislators are for free. They can get in there. Streaming as well. Yeah, this is awesome. I'm going to demand my legislators start getting involved in this. How cool would that be? You have power in shaping and changing your government. You just have to start exercising it. But anyway, as we prove that the Article 5 process is still the only process, and this actually is the next sub-bullet, then we establish a list of all the federal offices, agencies. So as we've done this research, now we start creating this list. that becomes the formal list of each and every individual one. Now, what happens is this list actually breaks into a pile of directives, because each office, each agency, each bureau needs to be broken apart and identified as an unconstitutional power, and then it is sent to the general government. Once we're there, once we have all of the states, we will be sending directives, but that's down the process here. I'm just kind of leaning forward a little bit for you. Why are we creating this list? Why are we doing this kind of redundancy? Well, because as we start revalidating and revalidating every time a new state comes to the table, each time it's going to be validated. Some of the stuff will be first and foremost, like new, like each state, did they constitutionally ratify the 17th Amendment? If they didn't, that'll be disclosed. So now we'll actually start finding out what amendments we might be actually recognizing that are all, you know, that aren't constitutional, that will actually be wiped away when we execute republic review. But the states have to do this. It's not up to the federal government to determine this. It's only up to the states. We've been using, I should say, the evil politicians over the past century plus have been using the federal government as their scapegoat, as the bully. Oh, well, we had to do this. We had no choice, whatever. We are going to expose, the truth is going to come out regarding everything as we audit, research, and go through every, leaving no stone unturned, going through every single stone. Anyway, so we're going to create this list of constitutionally authorized RRPs, and it's going to be a short list, and the ratified amendments, and as well as all of the rulings and laws that we've been living by that are actually violations of the Constitution, such as the states, you know, any marriage that was done against the will of the people, because many states had actually voted to not allow homosexual marriage, but when the federal government mandated it, every single one of those marriages would be annulled. The state did not have the authority to do that because the people actually said you can't. Just because the federal government said you have to doesn't mean, because they didn't have the jurisdiction over it, definitely means that they violated it, that those marriages were absolutely performed without authority, without the legal authority to override the will of the people. Yes, the will of the people can keep people from marrying animals and marrying their dogs or even the same gender and or these, what you want to call, this whole morphing of our sexuality and how they've tried to legitimize that. But anyway, that's another rat hole. We don't want to go down there. So then we start, we created these lists. Then they're going to ensure, so the next big sub-bullet under this would be ensure that the constitutional amendment process was either followed or violated in the creation, forming, or establishing each new power since 1791. And actually, I'm okay with going to like this, the 12th Amendment. For the most part, they were actually behaving really well. It was the 13th Amendment where there are lots of questions and beyond. Okay, so now that we've got that, then we want to obtain official and formal confirmation from Congress as to whether each role responsibility is in compliance or violates. But again, this doesn't really happen until we have 27 states. But I'm just trying to push the process forward. Did the states properly ratify the role responsibility or power through the systematic process, or technically the codified process, of each state? When I use the word codified, it means systematic, or that defined process. And so when most people use it, I think they're using it as like galvanized or embedded, or they say the codified constitution. Well, that doesn't make sense, because codified is really more not towards a galvanized or a ratified and or a, an embraced constitution. Let me keep going, because that's one of my little pet peeves. It's like folk. Is it folk or folks? Do we pluralize folks, like peoples, or is it folk? Anyway. And I'm not I'm not one to judge. It's just that when I start realizing most people get this stuff, I mean, this isn't, the nuances between then and then, right? Then and the than, then and an. And I'm going, wow, that's a little different. I can't understand why even I get confused on that. I've got the if and then rule and some other things in my head to help me do that, but. Or there, they are there, EIR and ERE and those and the application. But come on, folk and folks, that should be pretty self-explanatory. You don't pluralize a plural word, right? Is it peoples? Is peoples a correct word? Why is it everybody uses folks? I only say it because people go, that sounds kind of funny. Anyway. And I hate that because I have to admit, I am being politically correct when I actually mispronounce words, and I shouldn't do that. But I have to end up spending this little time going down the rat hole of why I don't do that because it seems like everybody says folks, and I'm going, oh my goodness. Anyway, I bite my tongue and say it. As a matter of fact, I had a friend, I'm going down the rat hole even further. I had a friend I worked with who was a linguist. I mean, he studied the English language and he started studying how we've been sliding and, migrating our words from, is it elevator or elevator? And how do we pronounce 11, 11, 11? Those types of things and how our language and our vernacular is migrating. And over the next probably 40 years, some of the words that we use today will not be the same. And you can see the evolution even back from the framers and the words that they used to compared to what we use today. But this guy was telling me that he's a linguist and he's, really big in studying language and its migrations. And he says we're on this fast track of really losing, this Queen's English or the properness of English and going down this pig English type of path. Anywho, right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't know. It's not my specialty. The Constitution is, and I do know that, so let's get back to that. Okay, so obtain official and formal confirmation from Congress, as I said, to make sure that everything was done in compliance for the constitutional amendment process, whether it was followed or not. Did Congress forward an amendment for ratification by the state for the role, responsibility, and power, receive formal ratification documentation from the requisite required states? Did the states properly ratify those roles, responsibilities, and powers? And this is the important issue, because there is evidence that the 14th, 16th, 17th Amendments were not properly ratified. Consequently, every amendment since the 12th Amendment must be verified as a part of this audit process. Each state will have to conform or to actually confirm the veracity of each ratification in compliance to the states and the United States Constitution. So each state has a process that they, this is how we change the Constitution. And I don't like most all of them, because most all of them require a vote of the majority of the people. To me, that's a democracy. The U.S. Constitution should actually step in and say, no, you have to be a representative government. And so it should be done by the state legislatures if you want the people. And actually, we should be implementing the superior, I should say, supermajority type of standards, not a standard of just 50% plus one votes. That's a simple majority. What we need, and as a matter of fact, I believe that we would be better served if every state, instead of having the popular vote, would basically set it to the vote or the passing by county. Just think, look at your state and look at how many counties you have. Let's say you have 40 counties and you want to change the amendment. Well, your state, you probably have a big city or two, and those cities are in one or two counties. And 9 times out of 10, those cities just ramrod everything they want because they're using democracy upon all the other counties. Now, to allow those cities to have what they want, then they would have to amend the Constitution, but they would need over 50% of the counties to agree to give them what they want. This is how you control what we call tyranny by the majority. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as these states start coming together, we've created these committees, like this research committee. Now we're going to expose you to the next committee that needs to be formed that's probably already been formed. There's no reason why the people for each state has not been identified that they're going to be a part of this other committee, but it is the RRP, which is the Roles, Responsibilities, and Powers, we call that RRP, Disposition Committee, and it's the disposition phase of Republic Review. So as these things go forward, obviously, if they're violations of the Constitution, then they have to be stood down. Now, you have to be clear here that there may be this desire for an amendment. However, we've committed with Republic Review that we do not want and we will not address any amendments until every role, responsibility, and power has been identified as violations and has been placed on a schedule of being dismantled or decommissioned and or disbanded. Okay? So what we've basically done is we've got everything working and moving in the direction of all this unconstitutional government's going to go away. All of the money they have for operations goes away. The only thing they have is the administrative money that they need to make payroll, and they can use everybody in each of these going away institutions, organizations, branches, blah, blah, blah. They can use this labor force to actually start, you know, helping transfer this information out to the states, kind of collating it, copying it, getting it, you know, getting the transition of moving this information and this power back to the states. So in so doing, we don't want to necessarily turn, and as a matter of fact, I highly recommend, I talk about this in my book. I haven't mentioned it yet, and I don't remember, since it's been a little while since I've done through this, I don't think I insert in here that we don't want to just lay people off tomorrow. I'm not sure if you've ever been laid off, but I do know, having laid people off before, I do know that nobody likes the anxiety of, oh, there's going to be layoffs coming. It's going to be me, you know, and that looming over their head over the next couple of days. And most people are going to see and recognize, wow, I'm losing my job. I'm losing my retirement here. The government has no guarantee or no right to guarantee retirements for all of these types of positions. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be upset. There's a few million. Not a lot. Most of America is not getting the retirement, this pension, I should say, not Social Security, but this government pension. Most people aren't. There are those from the military that have their pensions. That's constitutional. They actually have the power of creating a voluntary force. That's what we call it. I have to remember what we call it. We have a voluntary force, and so to get people to join, they've created these benefits and emoluments that if you join, they promise you this, this, and this. Well, I was promised free health care and dental for life. Well, they're going back on that. That's because they have to spend more money on these other unconstitutional things. I would like to see them get back into not spending the money that they shouldn't be spending and actually fulfilling the obligations that they made to me and everybody else. When they said, if you serve your country in the military, in the Marine Corps, and you do 20 years, you will get free medical and dental for life. I'd like to see them be good on that promise. And technically and legally, they should be. So anyway, I want to make this note here. So all violations, and this is where we expose you to this first committee, or the next committee, I should say, all violations are moved forward to the RRP disposition phase and committee, and I don't have it in committee there, but I will add that, the disposition phase of Republic Review. This way, people can actually see and understand, hey, things are moving forward, and these are the things that are going to go away. Now, note, big deal here. It is expected that the general government will be hostile. As a matter of fact, I need to include the general government and employees will be very hostile towards this whole process. Does that make sense? I mean, if you realize that the states are going to dismantle your job, your career, and you know all this stuff that you've put in for, you know, this retirement pension, well, I'm sorry. Sorry. Now, maybe the states can bring people in and try to help fold them in because these jobs are going to be done at the state level. But will they need as many people? Will they need that millions and millions that the federal government is employing today? I don't know. That's a good question. But bottom line, we have to be very forthright in letting you know that the general government and the employees are going to be hostile to this process. So one can expect them to be stonewalling and not to answer and to actually basically ignore when we start sending these declarations, these directives to Congress, and Congress doesn't do anything, then the one thing that the states have, and I think we get into this, is that the states have the power of the Constitution to call back their representatives, both senators and representatives. We'll get into that. So bullet five, four on the old process, but it's on five now. So if you printed this out and you're reading along or you're looking at it online and reading along with me, this would be step four. As new states join in the audit process or the Republic Review process and the audit process, each must begin establishing secure communications, networking, and architecture for online collaborative environment that is designed with full availability and redundancy. What I'm doing here is we're creating the architecture for these states to actually start working together online. We're not creating a convention. What we're creating is a collaborative environment to actually go through identifying what and how to enforce this Constitution. Again, creating the tribunal of actually identifying what are all the remedies for the breaches, the plethora of breaches of their compact. Each state must be able to function as an island within this architecture, as well as a part of the whole online republic, ensuring full redundancy and synchronization and merging information, maintaining full configuration management of all data within each state. Each state, and this is all important, and this is basically like systems engineering stuff, right? Or, you know, when you kind of lay out the architecture, how do you do all of this so that, you know, you don't lose data? Because if all of a sudden your system is down, how productive do you think you'll be when you don't have any computing power and ability to work? It kind of grinds everything to a halt. So each state joining Republic Review must continue to research and verify compliance and violations to ensure full integrity of all of the work by each state. Accuracy is paramount, and it will be disclosed. We're going to be holding them out. As the states operate, and as yours truly and the rest of us are demanding that they are in compliance with the Constitution, I want you to understand, we have the ability to keep them honest. We can point out, hey, you're sandbagging over there, South Dakota. You know, hey, pick up your feet up there, Montana. You know, you're missing some things. Anyway, step six. Once 13 states have joined and in the Republic Review process, and then we have states to start organizing these actual committees and getting more work done. We need 13. But the most important part is this red text. Each of these states, and this is all red text here, so this is what we're really pointing out. And the reason it's red is because this, again, refutes anybody who believes we're trying to convene a convention for the, you know, the amending of the Constitution, a constitutional convention. So anyway, the sub-bullet is, each of these states have resolved and committed to not ratify any amendments until the general government is within compliance to the Constitution or on schedule to compliance, to full compliance, I should say. 13 states, and actually I've got to add that because I'm going to actually make sure that that wording is in there, on schedule, not only within compliance, but on schedule, because once everything has been done, the states pretty much then, you know, release themselves, or I should say, they disband this Republic Review. But at any point in time, any state can initiate this again. Hey, we need to do this. You know, in the military, we have these general orders, and you're supposed to repeat calls furthest from the guardhouse than your own, because you repeat them to get back to the guardhouse. Well, in this context, and the reason I'm giving you this little information is, as we start seeing, you know, something happening in one state, that state has an obligation to let all the other states know, hey, they're in here violating the Constitution. Or maybe that state is California and they want this Constitution violated and the federal government is going to continue violating it. Then the state of Nevada, the state of, you know, hopefully Washington, you know, turns red again and fully supports the Constitution. Then these states would be able to say, hey, the federal government's violated the Constitution again, and then kind of go down and force that. Now, if you understand this concept of the majority and so forth, we still have to get to that, what the Electoral College for president, for the president to get involved in enforcing and using the office of the president to getting rid of all of these governors and all of these, I'll say, public servants in these blue states by actually using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to disqualify and remove them. Now, most people say, well, they got to go through a trial process. No. If you understand Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, it has nothing to do with a due process or trial. You've been identified as disqualified. Do you go to trial to determine whether, you know, whether the governor, when he moved out of state, was qualified to continue serving as governor? No, he's not. He's disqualified himself. He's down. He's gone. And you remove him. You don't have to go through court. The court doesn't own us. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.